I just want to say that there are a couple things in life that really grab your attention and focus. And one of them that I've come to found is watching believers come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of you are here visiting, and I love that. I love that you're in church. I just want you to know that I used to be an atheist, and I came to Christ through people in this church, through people reaching out to me and just being in fellowship with one another. And if you're looking for a church home, I couldn't suggest a better church than this. But I pray that you all would find a church home and stick with it, because what's more important than knowing the answer to, does God exist? If He exists, then what does He have for you? What is this world all about? What is this life all about? If you can find the answer to that question, I'm not promising happiness, but you will be fulfilled all the days of your life whenever you surrender to what the God of the universe has in store for you. And so I'm just thrilled this morning that we get to baptize 9 kiddos here this morning. Let's give the Lord another praise offering for that. Upon your profession of faith and obedience to God's commands, and by the authority of First Baptist Church of Potosi, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are buried with him unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Upon your profession of faith and obedience to God's commands, and by the authority of First Baptist Church of Potosi, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are buried with him unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Upon your profession of faith, in obedience to God's commands, and by the authority of First Baptist Church of Potosi, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are buried with him unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Upon your profession of faith, in obedience to God's commands, and by the authority of First Baptist Church of Potosi, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are buried with him unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Upon your profession of faith, in obedience to God's commands, and by the authority of First Baptist Church of Potosi, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are buried with him unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Upon your profession of faith, in obedience to God's commands, and by the authority of First Baptist Church of Potosi, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are buried with him unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Upon your profession of faith, in obedience to God's commands, and by the authority of First Baptist Church of Potosi, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are buried with him unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Upon your profession of faith, obedience to God's commands, and by the authority of First Baptist Church of Potosi, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are buried with him unto death, and raised to walk in newness of God. Upon your profession of faith, in obedience to God's commands, by the authority of First Baptist Church of Potosi, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are buried with him unto death, and raised to walk in newness of God. I think that's it, yeah.
I lost track.
I did too, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome, yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What an incredible way to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It is good to be with you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Jim, and pastor here. And like Kevin said, we're glad that you're here. And if you're looking for a church home, we get together every Sunday. And you'd be more than welcome to join us. We've celebrated, we've lit the Advent candles this season, and an Advent in the Christian faith, it means coming, and it brings with it an anticipation of the coming of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And this year, we've actually been looking at it from a little bit of a different standpoint, like through the eyes of the minor prophets, the prophets in the Old Testament, where Christmas was a future event. So if you haven't been with us so far, we've seen the hope of Christmas through the words of Micah. We've seen the peace of Christmas through the words of Zephaniah. The joy of Christmas through Zechariah. And these are all things that the human heart is longing for and looking for, likely in many different places. It's very possible that you're here this morning and you have been searching for these as well. Peace. Hope. Joy. You know, in a hopeless world, we could all use more hope. In a life that is full of chaos, a little bit of peace would be nice. And I will be the first to admit, it is often difficult to find, much less choose, joy. And so any help that we could get on any of these things would be much appreciated. Well, I'm here today to tell you the truth about all of these, and it is true about the love of Christmas as well, the love of God. It's the first blanks on your outline. If you have a bulletin on the back of there, is the outline for the message. And the first blanks are this. If you want to experience it, you have to look to Jesus. If you want to experience any of these, you have to look to Jesus. I mean, imagine if you had never been to the Rocky Mountains before. Maybe there are some here who never have been, or maybe you've never been to the ocean before. We could go around the room and tell you all we could to describe it as best as we could, but until you experience it, you just can't know to the best of what you could know until you see it. And the love of God is the same way. You have to experience it personally to be able to grasp it. And that's what Christmas is really all about. See, in the New Testament, it's really not a challenge to find the love of God. John 3:16, the most famous verse in all of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Right there. The love of God. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's pretty easy to find the love of God in the New Testament, but it's a bit more of a challenge in the Old Testament. There are different Hebrew words that can sum up our one word, love. But if you do a search, a form of the English word love is found in the Old Testament 267 times. And so I combed through all of those, and as best as I can tell, only about 23 of them speak of the love of God. And many of those are in the harder-to-read sections of the law.
There really aren't very many in the prophets. I mean, it is clear God loved his people in the Old Testament, but it may be even clearer now. And so the challenge for us today, this week of Advent, as we look at the love of Christmas, the love of God, is to find love in the prophets. And for that, we turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open it, however you prefer, a hard copy, or if you don't have it on your phone, you should, and we recommend YouVersion. So go to your app store and search YouVersion. With it, you can have the Word of God at your fingertips. You can find plans to help it make sense, and you can even follow along our screens while you're here during the services. And so what we need to see first of all this morning about the love of God, God's love draws us. It draws us. Jeremiah 31. If you don't know much about Jeremiah, that's okay. He wrote some 600 years before Christ. He's known as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. The original doomsday prophet. As in turn or burn. Like many others, he called people to repent. But his main message was that Judah was cursed by God because of their refusal to turn from their sin. And so they would be exiled to invading Empire of Babylon. Jeremiah's ministry was heavy. So was his life. He experienced the exile. His message was not received well. People did not listen to him. And he ended up suffering extensive persecution because of it. See, back in the law, God, he lined out for his people the things that were not acceptable, things that they would be cursed for: worshiping idols, hatred toward parents, cheating, taking advantage of one's neighbor. The list just goes on and on and on. And apparently, by the time we get to Jeremiah's day, the people have broken every single one of them. And so, God brought them this message of curses and destruction. Chapter after chapter, God lays out his case against Israel. He presents his relentless judgment, his impending destruction. He calls them out for believing lies, for worshiping idols. Words like mourning and captivity and broken and sword and famine and pestilence are used throughout the book to describe what God's rejected people were facing. It's a heart-wrenching tragedy. But as God often does, in the midst of the wreckage, he gives his people a glimpse of his love. When all they could see was doom and gloom, when they mourned the weight of God's judgment, when captivity and brokenness and impending destruction was all they could see had taken over their lives, God told them this in Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." The chapter goes on to speak of a time when God's people would be rebuilt, when joy would come back to them, when they would see God's mercy and experience it and know that they had experienced it, when their weeping would stop. It's a message that God still wants our hearts to hear this Christmas Eve morning. Make it personal. As he says to you, "I have loved you an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you." This love of God that we see here, it's different than the love we see in our culture. We throw the word love around a lot, all the time. We love food and people and shows and things, but we don't love them in the same way. And neither does God. His love is different. The love used to describe God in both Hebrew and the Old Testament and in the Greek in the New Testament has a much narrower definition. The New Testament word you may be familiar with, it is agape. Agape describes a selfless, no strings attached, unconditional, giving love. And this is the love that God shows to us. Infinitely higher than any other sort of love. Infinitely higher than the love we have for things and experiences. There are two different words used here in Jeremiah 31, but the idea is the same. When God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you, this selfless, no strings attached, unconditional love is being communicated. Now, notice in that verse, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting means forever and always, throughout eternity. The Apostle Paul wrote about the same kind of love in Romans 8 when he said that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's the same message of this everlasting love spoken of by Jeremiah, but Paul gives us the completed picture. Notice Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Same Christ Jesus, born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, that we celebrate this Christmas Eve morning. Friends, his love still draws us. We may be steeped in the consequences of our own sin, mourning and brokenness and destruction and difficulties may describe our current status, but through it all, the love of Jesus is drawing you. I can tell you this morning that God longs to restore and show mercy and rekindle joy in our hearts, and he does that first of all through Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mean that we don't face consequences for our actions still, but if you don't know him, accepting his free gift of life is the first step towards being made whole. You know him. Hear his heart. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you with an everlasting love. It's been described as never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love. And in his love, he is drawing your heart closer and closer to his. He longs for closeness with you. He longs to speak to your heart. He longs to show you the next right step of faith. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so this morning, we can be thankful that God's love still draws us, and it started with the birth of Jesus Christ. Love of Christmas draws us, and secondly, the love of Christmas heals. Number two on your outline. Turn over to Hosea. Hosea chapter 14. If you've been with us, we've looked at this book a little bit already in this series. But Hosea wrote over 100 years before Jeremiah, but his message is basically the same. Just replace Babylonian exile with Assyrian exile. God used Hosea's life and marriage and family as an example of his relationship, of God's relationship with his people. He commanded the prophet, I want you to go find an unfaithful wife, and I want you to be faithful to her. That wife was Gomer. And we won't go into great detail here this morning, but her career choice was what made her unfaithful. Gomer was a picture of the unfaithfulness of God's people and that they were promiscuous in their hearts by worshiping false gods. And Hosea was the picture of the loving God, merciful towards her, ultimately towards his people. In Hosea, we see how our sin breaks the heart of God and how he longs to bring us back to him. God's message, again, in the midst of brokenness is that his love heals. Hosea 14, verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. So just get this in your mind. Even though they had been unfaithful, even though they had hurt God's heart by running away from him and chasing after other gods, he still promises, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. Let's look a little deeper into this verse. Notice that word backsliding. It's a word that is still used today in English to decide to describe someone who has walked away from their faith and is not living like the Lord wants them to live. And so to any here who that may describe, God says to you, I can heal that. I'll heal that. But you got to let him. Notice that word freely in Hosea 14, 4. It speaks of a gift that is it isn't earned and can't be bought. So ultimately, how would God turn his anger away from us? Through Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, who we celebrate this morning. It's the story of the good news of Jesus right here. It's why the wise men journeyed so far and the shepherds were full of joy. It's why Mary held these things in her heart, because they knew that the baby that laid in the manger before them was none other than the Son of God. People took a tragic turn way back in the Garden of Eden when we chose to go against God's good design. We chose our own way. That led, the Bible calls it sin. It leads to brokenness. So sin is what separates us from God. He is holy, infinitely holy, and he cannot and will not be near our sin. He must judge it. And that judgment that each one of us deserves for our sins is death and eternity in a very real place called hell. But God, because of his great love with which he loved us, sent Jesus, his one and only Son in the form of a baby, the only one in human history to ever live a sinless life. And because he was sinless, he was the perfect and acceptable sacrifice to pay for my sins and your sins, the sins of the world. And so, the anger that our sins cause between us and God, the anger that God rightly has towards me and my sinful heart, my sinful, wretched heart, it was poured out on Jesus Christ when he hung on that cross. His death is what turns the anger of God away from us. His resurrection is what heals us. And his birth is what shows the love of God. You don't know him today. The best Christmas gift you could ever receive is accepting it, his free gift of life, this morning. Just like all the gifts under your tree, we don't pass them out to who they belong to. If we wait another week, another month, another year, the gifts are still sitting there. They don't do us any good. We have to accept, we have to receive the gifts. And so is the gift of Jesus, the gift of eternal life that he offers. Accept it by faith, trusting that Jesus is who he says he is, admitting that you are a sinner, be willing to turn from your sins, turning to Jesus, and accept him as Lord of your life. You can experience the love of God on the best and most incredible level possible this Christmas, as his love draws you. Just as these nine have come this morning testifying that they have made that choice. Are you here today and you've been searching for it, and maybe you didn't even know what you were searching for, but you were looking for the love of God found only in Jesus Christ? Today could be your day of salvation. He can heal your deepest hurt. He can satisfy your deepest need. That leads to number three. The love of Christmas quiets our heart. The love of Christmas quiets our hearts. We end today with Zephaniah. It's a verse that we have become familiar with over this last month. And as you would expect, Zephaniah has the same message as Jeremiah and Hosea. The unfaithfulness of God's people has resulted in destruction, summed up in Zephaniah as the day of the Lord. With only three chapters, it's packed full of judgment on different nations and people, including God's very own city, Jerusalem. But it ends with a reminder of God's faithfulness through it all. 10 times in the last four verses, God says he will do something to restore his people, and four of them are found in Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So right here is one of the few times that love is used as an attribute of God towards his people. He will quiet you with his love. I see this like a newborn baby. What do? When they're not happy? We pick them up and we hold them close. Talk to them softly. Maybe even sing to them just to calm them down. That's what the Lord does with us. I mean, we're adults. We don't scream out loud most of the time. Inside, maybe you are. That's what God does. He comes and he picks us up. He holds us close. He speaks to our hearts. He sings over us. He quiets us with his love. But the key to all of it is the two lines before. The Mighty One will save. Ultimately, how does he still do that today? Through Christ, his one and only Son. We celebrate here this Christmas Eve morning. See, the truth is, Jesus is in our midst. Jesus will save. Jesus rejoices over us. Jesus quiets our hearts. You ever noticed how quiet it is while it's snowing? Scientifically, they explain it as every little nook and cranny of every little snowflake absorbs sound. And so when it starts to melt, you don't get that quietness effect. Some of us need to allow the love of God fall in our hearts this morning. Quiet the chaos that's been going on for quite some time. As we've seen throughout this series, Jesus brings hope. The hope of a glorious eternity. Jesus brings peace. A peace that passes all understanding. Jesus brings joy, even in the midst of difficulties, and Jesus shows the love of God. If you want to experience any of these, look to Jesus. God longs for you to experience them this morning. And as we read the Christmas story, notice the hope, love, joy, and peace that his coming brought. Stand with me as we read Luke 2, 1 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, verse 11, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was, with the angels, heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. That is the light of Jesus Christ. Born so many years ago that we celebrate this morning. So as we light our lights, the picture of the good news of Jesus that is settled in our hearts, called to go and tell. If you're here this morning, you've never made that commitment. Today can be the day of salvation. You have to accept the free gift of life. If you're here this morning and you would say you know him, but that word backsliding would describe you, you can come back to him. You can turn around and find the Father whose arms are open wide. If you're here this morning and you know him and you're living for him, but man, you just wonder if he's ever going to listen, be encouraged this morning. The story of Jesus tells us he's there, he's listening, he's walking with us through each and every step. If you're here and, man, you know that Jesus is walking with you through every step, you're doing good right now. Maybe you just need to worship right where you are. We are here to lift up the name of Jesus. Sing. Sing with us. Silent night.